Whatever's what's going on? This is Fighter Suri. You know how I do. This is Big Shell, along with Chauncey True Talon.
What's up, y'all? Eating some cookies? I am.
And we have a very special guest in the house today. We have the man, the myth, the founder of Dominion Method Gaming, Laughing Hyena. What's going on, sir?
What's up? How you doing, guys?
All right. First off...
Hold on. Time out. The man, the myth, and the founder. Time out. You just said the man, and he's a myth. I'm lost right there. If you know he's a man, he can't be a myth.
Yes, he can, because he's always mysterious. He's always, like, not a...
I'm always behind the scenes. So
exactly. So there go the myth. Don't you ever cut me up again, Chauncey. Anyway...
That happens every show, so...
I know. Back to the... First, let me say thank you, Jose, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to get on the show with us.
No, not a problem at all. I do what I can. All
right.
That's what's up. Because me, I be saying I'm busy, but man, Sheldon always like, yo, you down to do? I'm like, yeah, I'm there, dude. I can be eating pork chop sandwiches. You know I don't eat pork. But I'm like, yeah, I'm there, man.
All right. Glad you're on the show because you could settle something right quick. Me and Chauncey earlier, we had a discussion, right? And it turned into a little disagreement. We were trying to say who's more famous in the fighting game community. I say it's Chauncey. Chauncey says it's me. Who do you think?
I told him I'm not known like that.
I told him he is.
It's funny because the discussion, a question like that always turns into an argument. It just reminds me of, I know it's going to sound very dorky of me, but the episode of Angel when Angel and Spike were arguing about when versus Cayman and astronauts. And it became a very huge, heated discussion. And I mean, granted, I mean, the Cayman will win, obviously. But I honestly, I mean, from I have to be real. I mean, Chauncey, I know of you from the shows with Shell, but I know Big Shell before you, so I have to say Big Shell.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Man, because you understand, it's like when we go to like tournaments or whatnot, it's like when I walk in the room, it's like a dark cloud, like a blue bunny came in. They be like, dude, who is that dude? And man, whose grandfather came in here? But then Chauncey come in the door. It's like, oh my God, it's the Chips Ahoy dude. Oh, snap. Can I get a cookie? Me? It's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Man, I've been trying to tell him. I was like, I'm not known like that, man.
Whatever, man. You got little schoolgirls in Japanese eating Chips Ahoy cookies.
Man, that would be the shit, then. Nabisco ain't paying me, goddammit. That's just...
So, you know, normally we just talk about what's going on in the news and whatnot, and what's going on in the fighting game community. And, you know, we'll get on you and your team in a minute. Actually, you know, let's get on that right now. Let me just say one thing.
Why are you going to put them on blast right now, man? You're not
man.
Right now. We're going to talk about
your team. No,
we're going to do it now.
Right now.
Like, it was a wrestling match. We were trying to set up a wrestling match, and then next thing you know, we're going to do the match right now. Like, oh, I thought this was going to be the main event. We're opening the show with this.
Okay, this will do. All right. Let me ask you a question, Jose.
Yeah.
All right. You going to share a sponsor with us, man? I mean, you going to leave sponsor?
Be hungry!
I mean, every time I turn around, you know, DMG got another sponsor. It's like, okay, you know, I'm just waiting to click on your site, and then tomorrow I'll be like, DMG probably presents our new sponsor, the moon. You know what I'm saying? We got the moon.
I know. Alice got sent to that thing.
I will say this, pretty much after Winter Brawl, it might as well be the moon sponsoring us.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey. I am off on this note.
Thank you. Good night.
Let my whistle. Like, these ain't the moon should be sponsoring. I was like, God.
Yeah, believe you me, it's not just not sounding conceited. But the thing is like the magnitude of. I mean, for me, it's huge. I mean, because, I mean, Shell, you know, you've been around when DMG just started. We didn't have anything, we had nothing. We didn't have. Nothing at all, any credibility whatsoever. And now we have, you know, a roster full of strong killer players. We have, you know, starting companies that are looking at our direction and they see what we can offer them. And this particular company that's backing us up, and it will be revealed at Winter Brawl, It's just one of those companies that started. It's kind of like the same history. It started out of nothing. And it has become this very huge thing that everyone recognizes. It's like a household name in the sense for the fighting game community, you know. So it's a big deal for us, and hence the reason why I said, yeah, the Moon might as well sponsoring us, because up to date, this is our biggest one.
Okay. All right, and so yeah, one day we'll be there. Also, on a lighter note, you gave me some encouraging words, and I appreciate it. So we're finalizing something. Can't say nothing, but we're working.
No, that's that's the thing. You have to. I mean, I'm like ever since after NAC and you know the performance that Wolfcrone did, and you know I'm waiting for something to come out of you guys, and then once again at the battle bars in Columbus, I'm waiting for something big to come out of you guys, and I mean I'm standing back and I'm you know making sure you know everything goes well on your end, because you're another group that's coming up, which is a good thing, and nothing but good things should be happening to you guys, and just take what you have earned per se, you know, with Wolfcrone and Banana Ken's performance at Columbus, and run with it.
Right. Okay. Now that we got that out the way, we can go back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Mm-hmm.
As Chauncey,
so he'll always be looking out for me. Every time I talk to him, he's like, "Yeah, man, just keep doing your thing. It will come in for us." He's like, "Just be patient. It took us a year before we got something. It's going to happen quicker for y'all because y'all are in the limelight. People know who y'all are." And I'm like, "Man, I suck at this."
No, it was basically, I was just sat down one day and I was like, I could have just called Jose and I was like, "Yo, man, this is some bull crap. This is it's taking this and this and that. I'm getting frustrated." He's like, "Dude, it took us a year to get where we are. Don't worry, be patient, and you get there." And now it's showing up. So we reveal it soon, but we just got to finalize it. But I mean, let me ask you a question. How do you feel about about Marvel vs. Capcom 3 out there now? It's like officially out there. Mm-hmm. Everybody's downloading it. How you feel?
Mm-hmm. Downloading? What's this from the interwebs? What's this downloading crap? I mean, it's not like I have a copy of it. You know, at all. It's not like none of my guys from my group have a copy of it. I don't know what the shenanigans is going on.
None of my guys from the group have it.
Yeah, I know.
I wish I had it.
Hey, it's a great thing. You know, I mean, granted, yeah, a Capcom would be shame on us, you know, for, you know, doing what we got to do. But hey, we doing what we got to do because, at the same time, it is a good thing. Capcom should see it as a good thing because we want it. We're hungry. We want the game. We want to play it. Give us our crack. We want our crack. We want it now. Just give it to us. And then it would be no issues whatsoever. It would be no issues whatsoever. And at the same time, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And now it's once everyone has an opportunity to play the game, get the fundamentals down, get the mechanics. You know, I was reading some posts that Yipes has been messing around with the game, Sanford was messing around with the game, and they put in a little bit of their two cents about the game. It just gives people more of a reason to compete at Winter Brawl for the first Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Major.
Right.
That's my opinion on it. Because it's a great. I mean, granted, yeah, if I was Capcom, I'd be pissed off. Because, hey, that's money coming out of my pockets, absolutely. But at the same time, I'll be looking like, hey, I have a product out there. People want my product. So I'm doing something right.
Okay. Let me ask you about since at Winter Brawl, which is coming up in about a week and a half. Mm-hmm. They're having Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition tournament. Let me ask you about Oni. Oni and Evil Ryu. You think they're overpowered, or should they be banned from tournaments?
Nah. If they shouldn't be banned, because that was the case, it goes to the same scenario, then Seth should have been mad. But Seth was just as broken as Gil. I mean, not as broken as Gil, but I mean, he was still broken when in Vanilla. The only problem was that he had low health. You know, he was broken again in Super. But he still had low health, even though they nerfed him a little and they took a lot of shenanigans out. But I mean, other than that, no, they should leave him in there.
Okay, fair enough.
Actually, it'll be fun. It'd be like fucking Dragon Ball Z type shit going on.
man, it's over 9,000.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be nothing but hype. But I mean, like, if everyone of well, I shouldn't say everyone. For those who have an opportunity to play Oni and play Evil Ryu, and some of the pros have played them and they approve of them, then it shouldn't be an issue whatsoever.
Right. Okay.
You know, because, like, real talk, like, when people be talking about this guy should be banned, this guy should be that, and it's like, okay, only character that I really can say that should be banned that's in the fighting game, there's like a few characters, but one is Super Turbo Akuma, because he can miss everything and still connect stuff still, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Gil can get it, like, because, like, Super Turbo, you can do a tornado kick and miss the first hit, but the second hit can hit, and I can still juggle you all the way through it. And Gil had health, but whatever, you know, if you're not that dumb, you know he's going to go for it. Why just rush him down and punch, and he's going to stop getting his health. Most people complain about that, but hey, it's whatever floats your boat. And
sandwiches. They ban characters just to make it even and fair for everyone, but if that was the case, they shouldn't have made the character to begin with.
Right. That's how I feel. So, like, you know, like, complaining about, like, Call of Duty is like, yo, I don't want new tubes in the game, then they shouldn't have put the stuff in the game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they shouldn't. Like, I mean, okay, that's a perfect example for Call of Duty. You know, they hate, you know, people play the game, oh, I hate campers. Well, the game itself is meant for campers. It's designed to encourage camping. It's a realistic sim. It's not like Halo that you could take out an entire team by yourself. You have to camp. You have to wait. You have to, unfortunately, you have to, you know, be a camper, you know? What it is. That's what the game is encouraged. What's the game built around? You know, it's encouraged campers. If that was the case, then every first-person shooter would have been like Halo.
Yep.
Right. Let me ask you, I don't want this to sound like an interview. It's just to chill out, you know what I'm saying? But I want to get your views on something, like, because, you know, we both like busting our butts to get sponsors and trying to get the fighting game community noticed in the esports arena. Do you know? You notice how, like, it's like with MLG. You know, MLG picked up Taken 6. It was like, yes, we're going to get, you know, get the notoriety that we need. We're going to get, you know, and then they dropped it. Yep. And it's like, a lot of people are saying that it's like, almost like a step back for the fighting game community to get an esports arena. I don't think it is. I think, you know, it was good to get us the door open, but as long as we keep doing it, we can bust the door wide open. What you think about that?
I don't think it was a bad thing for Tekken to be removed out of MLG. I mean, granted, yeah, I was like, you know, what the fuck? You know, it was not even, it wasn't even there for an entire, it was there for one season. That's it.
Right.
One season. I mean, you had games like, I know I'm going to be talking on my ass, but you know, I'm just trying to find, like, Shadowrun was a good first-person shooter, but it wasn't the best. It had its flaws. It didn't have a huge following, but yet it still remained in MLG for a number of seasons. Okay. I believe the Tekken community is a lot bigger, per se, Shadowrun's community, but yet it only stuck around for one season. Why? No one would know. Money aspect? Maybe not. Community? I don't think so. Basically, for Tekken to be not in the MLG is a good thing. It just proves that maybe the fighting game community doesn't belong in MLG. Maybe we do belong in our own type of venue, hence Winter Brawl, NEC, Final Round, EVO. Those are our venues. I mean, I will be the first one to admit, hey, I'm a huge fanboy MLG. I want MLG to pick up Street Fighter or another, or Marvel vs. Capcom, even Mortal Kombat 9. That would be very nice. A good step towards the fighting community. Will it happen? Don't know. I just got to keep hoping and praying, and hopefully they realize the camaraderie between, you know, first-person shooters, you know, is not the only type of genre out there. You know, granted, right. It got the first-person shooters out there. Now I'm starting to ramble.
Right.
The first-person shooter community is more marketable. More people can pick it up and follow it. Hence, is more profitable. When it comes to the fighting game community, even though it's been around longer than a first-person shooter, now is our time for it to finally make it mainstream. Hence, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, now Marvel vs. Capcom 3, now Mortal Kombat 9, and then Tekken Tag. You know, all these games are starting to come out. It's like we mentioned, we talked about this before, you and I, Shell, is the new 90s. Is it the 90s all over again when it comes to the fighting games?
Yes.
You know, back in the days of 90s, it was nothing but fighting games.
Oh, man, I miss those days, going to the arcade and finding a new game. What game is that? Mortal Kombat. I never seen it before. They can count people. Oh, my God. What is that? I mean,
that's what it is. It's like that entire hype and excitement back in the 90s, it was nothing but fighting games. It's coming back. And, well, it's been back. It's finally going, taking off a little bit. Is another fighting game happen in MOG? Yeah, maybe eventually would it happen. Will it be an end of the world that a fighting game is not in it? No, because we've been around for a lot longer than first-person shooters community, and we will still continue to be around after what MOG, you know, drops or wherever the case will be. But eventually we will have our own venue that has nothing but fighters, which the thing is we already have, which is EVO.
I mean,
if you want to talk to like the magnitude of like MOG status when it comes to first person shooters, you know, Halo, Gears, whatchamacallit, Black Ops, whatever the case may be, then you look at EVO. EVO has Super, Marvel vs. Capcom, Mortal Kombat 9, so on and so forth. It's just the thing is that people, markets, companies, they recognize the first-person shooters more because they're marketable.
Right.
It's all money. It's the money. Companies will go where the money is.
Right. So I personally think we're on the right path because, like, when I interview a lot of players, you know, there was, like, a major is, like, 35 people. Now a major, you know, you have, like, over 300 people.
And well, isn't it fucking great, though?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then the fact that what you're doing, what we're trying to do, and what Jason Cole was putting together as far as Dojo Sports.
Oh my God, Jason Cole, God, like, I bow to the man.
So
awesome,
yeah.
Awesome concept.
And he took, and it's so crazy how long it took, because it took so long for it to happen. But that stuff could have happened any other day of the week. You know, anybody could have thought of it.
Yeah.
But with the help of the internet is really what's helping the fighting game community. Because,
exactly.
Because like me and Sheldon was talking about that a while back. Sorry for cutting you off, but I was talking about Infinite and Marvel's Capcom 2, because I wasn't exposed to that until I seen a YouTube video, you know, and I was like, wow, that is jacked up. And Sheldon was like, yo, that was already happening back in my day. I was like, well, my arcade was dead. We lost our arcade. We had to go to Indianapolis, and went, that's an hour drive. Nobody's going to drive an hour just to play video games all the time. I would have if I was old enough to have my own car, but it was, and then, you know, people, when we got to the age where we can go there, Marvel's Capcom 2 was always there, but people was playing Tekken Tag, so we wasn't seeing Infinite. And Sheldon was like, yo, I seen Infinite like the first week Marvel's Capcom 2 came out. I got hit with that. I'm like, no, I said we didn't get hit with that because we wasn't exposed to it. And now since the internet's around and people complain about the internet so much, like, yo, the internet's the reason why fighting games got so easy play. And I'm like, yo, without the internet, it took us forever to get Evo tapes. I had a disc, and it wasn't even the full tournament. It was just a disc of matches. And I was like, wow, this is just awesome. Sat there and just watched the same matches over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the Demon Hugh, the perfect on Marvel's Capcom 2. And a couple of other matches, but we didn't get everything that everybody got to see. And if it wasn't for the internet, man, the stuff that people complain so much about, we wouldn't be where we're at right now because it's so marketable. And that's why the Dojo Sports is going to really help the fighting game, because everybody can see it because it's streamed.
Oh, it's the our just like what Shell said, we are in the right direction. You know, you're right. Anybody could have thought of the 5v5. The 5v5 could have been happening as long as we can remember. It's just never been finalized the way it has been, or try to make it into a sport, or make it into a per se league. How Jason is doing, and it's just. I already saw the first few matches. I mean, they're already phenomenal. You know, the hype behind is good. The publicity is even better. You know, it's showing, like, what if two teams actually sat down, played against each other, you know, and eventually maybe one day it could be sanctioned into the sense like, hey, you know, this is the standard. You know, when it comes to actual teams, it wouldn't be 2v2, it wouldn't be 3v3, it would be 5v5, you know, per se. And it wouldn't be sense as, you know, hey, you know, I'm signing up for the teams, I need teammates. You actually have to have a team name, team company, team shirts. You know, I mean, granted, it sounds corny and cheesy, but hey, we want it to be as professional as possibly can, so we have to treat it as much.
Which I'm glad you're on the show, which leads up to the next segment I wanted to bring up, because you and I, we had conversations off the air and about professionalism.
Hey, you keep me out of this? Oh, I see. Oh,
God. We talk to you too, man. Come on now.
I know y'all do.
But it's just not, I mean, we're not going to say anything out of the way on that. It's just that, you know, like they said, like Chauncey said, with the internet, you know, it's bringing a lot of things. But also with the internet, you know, you got streams where there's 20,000 people on stream watching the grand finals. You know what I'm saying? And it's like it's a certain air or camaraderie that the players or professional players got to have. You know, I mean, if you know, we know you're arrogant. You know, you have, you know, a certain swagger about yourself. But if you like treat like people who's at the tournament a certain way, they'll stop coming. You know, you want more people to come because they add more money to the pot and you get more, you know, more of the winnings. Mm-hmm, so it's a certain way. And it's just like, I try to tell my players, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Be professional, shake hands. You know, don't be, you know, you can have a swagger. You can have all the confidence in the world, but be polite to people. People ask you for your autograph. Go ahead, give them an autograph. Be nice to people because in turn, they, you know, in turn, those people are applying money and then, you know, they can go back and be like, oh man, I met Wolf Kron or I met Rico Suave. Those guys are cool. You know, those guys are awesome. It's better to have that than to be like, man, oh, those guys are a bunch of dicks. No, don't talk to him. You know what I'm saying? Why go to the tournament? They're a bunch of assholes, you know, stuff like that. So.
No, I agree 100% with where you're coming from. The thing is that it's all about, you know, how you present yourself, how you carry yourself. I mean, granted, you could be the best player in the world, and you can be arrogant, and you can be showboating, as you say, while you're playing. But you know, if you're and it's all for show, and you're, and everyone's having a good time. But at the end of the match, you're shaking hands. You tell the other guy, "Hey, good fucking game," and people coming up to you like, "Hey, you know, you're a good player. I want to give you some tips. Yeah, this is what you do." That's what matters. Because the thing is that you can, like I said, you could be the TO of Street Fighter or the TO of Marvel vs. Capcom. You could be the very best in what you do, but if you are a complete asshole, then all that doesn't mean jack shit. It doesn't matter if you're the best player. You're not worth the player that you should be. You should be as when you present yourself to the community, because if you're the best player, you represent the community. Even though if you don't want the title, you're representing that particular game of that particular community. Hey, I'm the best player in Street Fighter. Oh, cool, you're an asshole. So the rest of the community is an asshole. You know, that's why you have to look at it. It's like for me, like, you know, like for example, like, you know, speaking of T.O. is a great player, but he's an asshole. I don't respect him. Michael Vick, he's a great player, but he's when it comes to a human being, he actually sucks. You know, but I mean, other than that, I mean, there's a certain level. You're a great player, but if you're an asshole, you always remain an asshole no matter what. You being a great player is just a bonus. But if you're a great player and you're down to earth, you're good peoples, you do what you can for the community, you're there for your fans, you're there for other players, you want to help the community make it stronger, then you're a good person. You're not just a great player. You know, it goes hand in hand. It's like when it's like real life. What should be, you playing Street Fighter, being Marvel vs. Capcom, being the best player, that's what you're going to be in life. You're not going to be a good person. You're not going to, like, live your life in a way with morals or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, this is a lot of players in this community, in fighting game community in general, they have the chip on their shoulder. And it's bad because the thing is that if they continue to portray that and continue to have that chip on your shoulder, then, you know, when companies, they look for you, they'd be like, oh, man, this is a good player. Let's take a look at him. Oh, wow, he's an asshole. Never mind.
That's what I've been saying all the time. If you heard of my couple podcasts ago, I said that. I was like, dude, you don't know who you're talking to. You should be respectful. Even if you got a bad day, even though you got bodied, even though you got, you know, got peaced out, you know, you got to be, you know, got to be more professional because you could do so much with your with your professionalism as well as you could do with your skills. Mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just. Some people don't understand it. Some people don't care. You know.
And the thing is like, you know, I mean, granted, yeah, you know, me and Shell, you know, we're not the young bucks like we used to. You know, we're up there. But at the same time, it's just even though you're young, you still have to have some humility. You still have to have some sort of be like you have to have some a common ground with there. You're part of the community. You're used to be at one point in your career, if you want to look at it as your career, that you used to be a scrub. You used to be a nobody. You used to be a random. So why all of a sudden you turn out to be this great player and do a complete 180 of being, oh, I'm an asshole? It doesn't make sense. You have to be everyone, and I mean, granted, you know, showboating, you know, carrying on, wherever the case may be, that's all fine and dandy, and that's what's part of our community. That's what makes the matches so hype, and you know, the stuff that happens behind stage, so, you know, that much grander. But at the end of the day, if you shake hands and you tell each other good games and you help each other out, that's what matters.
Okay, fair enough. I like that.
You know, and the same thing, and also when some of these young players, when they look at some of these players that have a chip on their shoulder and don't really care about the community, they feel like that's the way they should emulate. You know, they will love the player because of who they defeated and who they bested. But at the same time, if they look at their swagger and they look at the way they carry themselves, like, oh, maybe I should be that way. Maybe I'd be just as good as them, and maybe I'll get sponsorships. Fortunately, it doesn't work that way. I'll be straight up and tell you, and there's a lot of players I wanted to be part of Dominion Mythic Gaming, but unfortunately their attitude sucks. Their attitude completely sucks, and that's the same type of attitude that my sponsors, the same companies that are sponsoring my guys, do not want.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that. They're like, you know, they think, you know, you can get a sponsor and it's going to be all fine and good. But, you know, you approach a company, you tell them, you give them your spiel, give them your proposal and all this and that. They're going to investigate. They're going to be like, okay, why should I give you X amount of money and find out, you know, and help you out? What you're going to bring to my company. And then they check out and they check your players. And then, you know, they see on YouTube, you know, your player is cussing out another player and calling them all type of obscenities. They're like, mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm straight. I'm good. Nah, you get no money. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200 and put down the wheelbarrow. I'm not giving you no.
The thing is that they have to, a lot of these young players, they got to look at it as a business aspect. They have to look at it as like, why is this company spending money on me? And you always, once you realize, okay, now I know why they want to spend money on me, I have to continue to give them what they want. Not be like, okay, I got your money, I could be an asshole.
See, that's the thing is, a lot of people don't understand, this is a business aspect. This is not... Just have everybody, my bestest friend, my Uncle Lyle, and Cousin Ed in this group.
Right.
Group. It's a business, man. People think just because it's fun and it's a hobby, they think that they can get paid. It's like, yo, it's like, cause like I'm trying to be a journalist, right? And I love video games, but I don't buddy every like I don't talk business with my friends, and I don't bring friends with my business. If we're friends, I talk strictly friendship. But if it's business, I it's like, yo, okay, I'm trying to put this aside and bring it straight business. Cause like if I got to cut this person off because it's a business situation, I don't want them to be like, yo, man, that's bogus. I was like, yo, it's business-wise. I had to cut you off. You're still my dog. You can't get mad at me because of that. I just had to cut you off because this is a business deal. Mm-hmm. And people don't understand that. They think it's just, oh, man, this is a video game. I can do whatever I want. I cuss people out on the video game over the net. No, man, it's just not. It's not that, man.
And at the same, I'm sorry to cut you off. Just real quick.
Oh, it's all good.
It's like you just said about, you know, you trying to be a journalist and you know, you don't mix your personal life with your business. And that's a lot of problem what's going on. The whole fighting game community, the whole thing is transcending. And a lot of people don't like it. It's not, they don't like the fact that it's transcending as gaining towards the mainstream. But at the same time, those who want it, they still don't know how to definish the difference of, you know, business and personal.
I'm glad you said that. I say that all the time. On podcasts, on my YouTube videos, I say that all the time. It's like the fighting game community is in the middle of a paradigm shift. It's going to be the war of attrition, you know, war of ascension, whatever you want to call it. You have those who don't like it and don't want it. You got those that want it, but just don't know how to get it. Mm-hmm. People mm-hmm. just, and it's like, you know, it like it really bothers me that, you know, like you said, fighting games have been longer than first person shooters, and it just makes me mad when I see Final Boss holding up a $700,000 check for playing Halo, and it's like, why can't the fighting game community be like that? Why haven't we hit the cusp of having a player holding or a team of players doing team 5-on-5, 3-on-3 holding like a 6-figure check, you know?
It's because will it happen? Yeah, it will.
It will.
Not anytime soon, unfortunately.
Right. But it's just like I said, it's up to us. What do we want? Do we want to, you know, it's like, it's, you know, sit or shit on the pot. You know, you can't have it both ways. You want the money, gotta be more professional. You don't want the money. You want to be, you know, king of the hill, but don't want to you know, change or adapt. And
speaking of adapting, I have to give props to Empire Arcadia, because here's a group that has been dominance of the fighting game community for a good number of years now. And, you know, just recently, you know, I guess the best technical word I could use is transition into the entire, you know, EMP camp. And when they show the 5v5, you know, in Chinatown Fair, and when Empire came out with their jerseys, a lot of people were ragging on them. And I'm thinking to myself, why are they ragging onto a group at one point didn't think about wearing uniforms? Maybe at one point that they did, and they realized it wasn't their time to wear uniforms, and then they realized, like, wait, the time is for them to wear uniforms because other groups are wearing uniforms or jerseys or shirts, you know, representing their team name, their sponsors, but yet they're ragging on them because they're not used to it, or they don't consider Empire as one of those groups that can be corporate looking, or whatever the case may be, whatever you want to look at it, or being looking, you know, as one of those groups that can be a professional team. But I mean, what a lot of people don't realize is that they started it all. They're the ones that threw the pebble into the, if you want to get, you know, philosophical here, they're the ones who threw the pebble into the pond. They started the ripples, you know, like yourself, myself, FYC, Delta Red Squad, you know, all these other game, all the teams are coming up that they're following their trend. So
That's why.
I don't care what anybody say. Everybody, when they found out about Empire Arcadia and seen how the players was winning stuff, everybody wanted to be a part of that, or they wanted to make a group because of that. I'm not gonna lie. When I first seen Justin and Sanford played against each other on Marvel, I was like, and then, you know, this was like, well, it's an old video, and I'm like, and I found out, I was like, wait a minute, they're in the same group and they're playing like this? They're fighting for first place. They're not shaking hands and splitting the money down the middle. This is how hungry this group is, and it's like, oh, I gotta be a part of this. I got to be a part of it because they're hungry. They won the show. Like, yo, they didn't want to split the money. They just like, yo, I'm gonna beat you. No, I'm gonna beat you. And they're like, no. And they're a part of the same group. It just made me like I wanted to be a rapper at the time. Like, everybody goes through that phase. I want to be a sports star. Oh, I want to be something to do with music. And then it's like, man, I've been so close on that. And then I was like, man, you know what? Screw that. And then like, right when I watched that, I'm sure it was Justin versus Sanford. And then I found out they was both on the same team. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, that's what I want to do. I've been playing video games for all my life, trying to be so competitive with it, do money matches. Didn't even know money matches was like really top of the line like that. Because everybody was playing Madden and stuff, and I was still trying to play fighting games, and nobody was playing fighting games. And I seen that, and I was like, oh, I got to be part of Empire. Start sending wild emails, like, come on, somebody send me something back. I want to be part of this. What can you offer us? I'm good. I don't got none.
hey, you got farther than me. I mean, I send countless emails to Triforce, and I ain't got any back. But... More of a reason why I started Dominion Method Gaming. It was actually, you know, a lot of people don't realize is that Empire is a reason why I started DMG. Is to just to have another entity out there to be just as successful as they are.
Right. And you know what? I think, you know, Empire, you know, EMP and DMG are like based on the East Coast. You guys, at times, you remind me of the movie Zoolander. Have you ever seen the movie Zoolander?
Uh-huh.
The greatest rivalry between Hansel and Zoolander.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, I have to go back a little. See, the thing is that for the longest time, you know, I mean, even to this day, you know, I always will have a... It's like the... Goku Vegeta, Ken Ryu, type of rivalry. It's a friendly rivalry. I will always want to beat Empire. I will always continue to want that. I know that it is possible. Like I said before, we have beaten them before last year, Winter Brawl, hence why Winter Brawl is so personal to me.
Right.
I still want to beat them. And when the time comes... when we will actually have the time, probably maybe sometime maybe after Evo, we'll have an official 5v5 of Empire versus DMG in Super Street Fighter 4, Marvel versus Capcom 3, Mortal Kombat 9, just to settle who is the very best. But the funny thing is, even when that's done, we will still be going at it. You know, the thing is that, you know, Triforce, you know, me and him talked very occasionally. Shell, you know me, I'm a very private person. I don't talk to a lot of people. I let my players do the talking for me. They're the reason why I did Dominion Method Gaming. I do it for them. You know, I make the deals. I deal with the stuff in the background,
right.
Behind the scenes stuff. I deal with that so they don't have to worry about it. And I will always have this thing that I will always want to beat Empire Arcadia. That will always be there.
I don't care about
nothing. It's like what Ric Flair always says: to be the man,
you have to beat the man.
So Empire Arcadia, in my eyes, will always be that one entity that will always be synonymous when it comes to the fighting game community.
Okay. 2011, year of the fighting games.
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes. Oh, that's 2011 and 2012 will be the year. It will be the 2 years of the fighting game. You got to think about it because 2011 will still continue on with, you know, Mortal Kombat 9 and Tekken Tag, I believe. And then right before 2011, the end of 2011, you know, you have Tekken X Street Fighter. You know, that's going to spill over to 2012. But
oh, but you didn't even know about the other games that came out, the other 2D games that came that's coming out.
No, that's exactly more of a reason why.
I mean, you got Skull Candy. You got
Skull Girls.
Skull. Did I keep Skull?
Stop messing my game. I'm off of this.
please, Mike Z, don't hurt me. Please, I'm sorry. Please. Then you got the announcement with Under Night in Birth.
Mm-hmm,
by the makers of Melty Blood. Then you got they pushing hard for that game to come out.
Phantom Breaker.
Then you got Phantom Breaker. Man, it's so many fighting games just coming out like from now until the end of 2012. Just
oh yeah, dude, it's just it's the 90s all over again. The thing is that the difference is that the 90s, you know, it was like one fighter came out per year because back then it was, you know, it was arcades.
Right.
You know, now it's, you know, every fighting game is coming out like three fighting games per year. You know, it's just, I can't, it's, like I said, like you said, it's our time again. This is our opportunity to put the fighting game community, the fighting game genre, where it belongs, in the mainstream.
Yeah. You know, when I'm not, and then I know you're very passionate for your team and whatnot, but I feel that I'm not going to stop until I see, you know, a six-figure check go to one player, or I see us on MTV like a regular scheduled, like syndicated show, like over in Korea, like how they do Taken.
The thing is that I want, and this is, and you know, me and my public relations manager, Jason, you know, me and him kept on going back and forth, like, we have to keep going where we're going. Keep doing what we're doing. Once EVO is done and over with, we have to take our entire EVO season, the one that is going to happen this coming up the next few months, and present it. Take all the footage, take all the stats, take all the number of people viewing, take everything, the money spent, the money made, everything that will make, that will, you know, make a TV network look in our direction. And the first one I will go to is Spike TV.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And the funny thing is, Spike TV is one of those, you know, and I hate Spike TV, not because of not because of the shows, because they actually have good shows, it's because, you know, how they butcher the video game awards.
Don't get me started on that.
I know. They butcher the video games awards every single year, and they can't do that right. But if you be able to present them a package of, you know, the fighting game community and how hype it is, and how popular it could be in the main masses, and how people can just pick it up and enjoy it, and it's a good thing. It could be a very, very good thing.
It's just Spike TV.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that bad? You got to think of G4 is following the same route Spike TV is going, so we can't really boost on. Destroy Spike TV because G4.
We're not mad at Spike TV. It's just
boost the video game awards. I understand, yeah. But
and show it's like.
But G4 TV is modern and following the same thing Spike TV do. And when they do their shows with the video game awards type things, it's the same thing.
See, my thing is that when G4 do their game shows awards, it's for them to present it, which because that's their concept. You know, that's their thing. But when it comes to a TV syndicated, channel like Spike TV, that it does house different things besides just TV, you know, the video games awards and, you know, yada yada yada. But the thing is that if they actually put in one element and it will make it successful, and that element is to actually have people who actually play the fucking games to present the awards.
Yeah.
I will go with that. and not have Street Fighter jackass as being a host.
Exactly. You know, instead of doing something like that to make it popular for people to, like, oh, so-and-so's going to be on there. I have to watch it. Have people actually present the award. Like, for example, Super Street Fighter 4. Have some of the best Street Fighter players presenting the award. Halo Award, or like the first person shooter award, have someone who actually plays like a fatality. Have him present the fucking award. You know, it's just have people who actually play the game. Don't have a celebrity present the award who may just haven't played a game for the first 10 minutes when he got there.
Right.
I feel you now. But okay, if we had more celebrities playing the game that advertise it, it would be way better too.
Like, for example, like have Big Boy present a video game awards. He plays video games. He's an avid video game player.
Yeah,
have him present the freaking award.
Like Ice-T, he's a Call of Duty. He plays Call of Duty. Don't care about it. He plays it. I mean, he plays Call of Duty all day, every day, and he advertises it that, yo, I got a clan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
I see what you're saying. That's what they should do. You know, because a lot of people will. I was telling my vice president, because I'm the president of the Student Gaming Association, and I was like, yo, we are a group, a club at this college, and people are ticked off because we get a budget that the school provide us. Nobody like people. They love video games, but they hate gamers.
That's a weird concept, right?
You can put a video game in front of a 90-year-old woman, and she'll like, oh, what's that? Oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Oh, son, what you doing? I'm trying to be a gamer. Boy, what's wrong with you? You better get out there and get you a job and find your woman. Everybody loves video games. They just hate gamers. So I was trying to tell them, like, yo, we got to clean up the image for us, because you got to do stuff like the community, like how Empire, like Empire advertised their do charitable events, and that's a big thing. Like we should be promoting stuff like that, you know, like they should be advertising portions going to this funding to these group of people, and have more people advertise it, you know, like big celebrities that play this stuff. They admit that they play. That just, yeah, cut me a check, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the worst thing. That's the worst type of publicity. You know, pretty much per se sponsoring someone who hasn't even heard of the game, or even let alone are an avid fan of the game, to present an award for the game. It's the worst thing. This doesn't make sense. It's like, you know, the Chewbacca defense just doesn't make sense.
Did you just say the Chewbacca defense? No, you didn't. Oh, man.
It doesn't make sense. You know, it's just a lot of things that they try to make. You know, Spike TV, they try to make video games mainstream, and which is fine, but they're doing it wrong. They're doing it completely wrong. They try to make it completely mainstream and totally alienate and take out the people who actually makes it, who makes the community the game it is. You know, not the celebrities don't make the game, or, you know, it makes the game hype. It's the community. It's the people who made the games that makes the game what it is.
Right.
You know, I mean, granted, yeah, you won't make it mainstream. Cool. Do it right. Like what we're doing. Like leaders like DMG, EMP, TFA, you know, we're trying to make it better and make it into the mainstream the right way.
Yeah, trying to. You know, some people are hard headed; they don't want to listen. But
it goes to the thing. It's like Steven Spielberg, you know, promoting Star Trek. It doesn't make sense. Does not make sense.
I'm right.
I get you on that one. I feel you 100% right there.
Doesn't make sense.
Yes. Steven Spielberg promoting Indiana Jones. And then George Lucas, let's do E.T., baby. I get it. I a lot of people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, no. it's two different people doing two something. We're going to thumbs up this. No.
Right.
It's not going to work. It's like a basketball player say, yeah, we're going to play football this week with pads on. And they never play a day of football in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. Oh, Jose, what's your take on Mortal Kombat? Because my co-host, he dislikes it with a passion.
I do.
Why do you dislike it?
Okay, I'm going to break this. Each and every week I gotta do this. Okay, name something that has grasped you of Mortal Kombat, the new Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah.
That give me something that grasps. What really gives it to you? You know what? It's this right here is like the famous thing I'm going through. I'm like the, you know, I don't want to say it like there's like everybody's like, okay, they believe in Mortal Kombat, like how some people believe, you know, like I'm a religious person, I believe in God, you know, and I'm playing the other side of it, you know, like, yo, why do you believe it? Well, this does this and this doesn't does that, you know, prove it to me, you know, that's what side I'm playing. I'm playing the other side, and I don't see nothing fantastic about Mortal Kombat.
I look at it this way. It's the same question someone asked me about Street Fighter 4. Why do I like Street Fighter 4? Well, because Street Fighter 4 is a 3D game that has 2D elements. Besides the corner. Granted, a lot of people are pissed off about the corner, but...
come back to the 90s, baby. You'll understand about the boxes.
Exactly. But the thing is, it's the same thing with Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat finally decided after, what, four incarnations that it's better to stick what works. And they stuck with their 2D elements. Not elements, 2D mechanics. And they made it into 3D. That's the reason why I'm drawn to it. And that's the reason why I'm excited about it. Because you have Mortal Kombat 2 and 3 elements into this new version. Basically, if you want to look at it, it's kind of like a reboot to the entire series, because it's been so long that the series has been on a 2D plane. It's been so long. Every other incarnations, they tried to make it into Soul Calibur. You know, try to move it around and Tekken, you know, all this, you know, great, it's fine, it's dandy, but that's not what the game was about. It was 2D, fighting, bloody, fatalities, pure awesomeness. And that's what Mortal Kombat 9 is about, in my opinion.
That's pretty good. I look at it like, hell, guys, if they really gonna give us these characters again, they just should have released in the HD remix.
Well, they basically said that the whole roster is not complete, so we'll see. But if they don't announce at least one or two new characters, I'm gonna be like you, Chauncey. I'm gonna be like, okay, all right, okay, why? I mean, at least Street Fighter 4, they came out with
four new characters.
They came out with like four new characters, and then in Super, they came out with two more. So I'm just waiting. Just wait.
Well, see, I mean, the thing is that, you know, okay. Shell, do you like Super Street Fighter 4?
Yes.
Shante, do you like Super Street Fighter 4?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I think it's a crappy game.
Oh, it's still a crappy game, but I like
it. It's a very, very it's poorly done. You know, it's just one of those type of games that, you know, it was geared towards everybody. And the thing is that a lot of people will listen to your podcast and like, what the fuck is he talking about? The game is awesome. Yes, the game is great. It's a fun game to play. But I am looking at it as at a competitor's level. The game is crap. Unfortunately, the game itself is too flawed. It's too many things that makes the game what it should be. You know, and I miss, and you know, a lot of people are going to hate me for this, but I miss Street Fighter 3. I love that game to death, and I miss it. You know, I miss the mechanics, the high skill of what it needs for you to actually play that game. And You know, I understand why Capcom did what they did. You know, they want a broader audience. They want more people to play the game. They want more people to buy the products. Great. Awesome. That's the same thing what they did with Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Is it going to be like Mortal Kombat? Sorry. Damn, Yipe's going to kill me. Marvel vs. Capcom 2? No, it's not. Would it bring the same hype? Yeah, it will, but it's going to be a different type of hype.
Okay.
I feel you on that one. That's why I be trying to tell people. I always ask people this question. Since you've been there, and like you know, a lot of younger kids, you know, they just got in there, and it's like they always tell me, that's like, would you rather play Street Fighter 3 or Street Fighter 4? Like I tell them 4. You know, I wasn't I played 3 growing, you know, because I went to Indianapolis. But if you have a really, it's like if I rather watch, if I'm want to play, I want to play 4. If I want to watch, I want to see 3, because people don't understand that if you're playing a match of Street Fighter 3, you can parry so much stuff and stop and make the match last for could have been 20 second match to a whole 99 second match because a parry is gonna be annoying. But on Street Fighter 4, you can only focus attack one hit before you get hurt. Get the match done.
I hear you.
That's how I feel. You know, I'd rather play 4 because of the whole focus attack. You can't parry. Like, you know, Street Fighter 3, I can throw the DX fireball. You can parry that whole thing. 1, 2, get out of my face. What are you doing? You going to do it again? You going to get my meter up. Well, if I throw EX Fireball, you're only going to absorb one, and the second hit is going to make your bar go to where it should be at, because you took one hit by absorbing, and the second hit is going to make the bar go down further. I just want the match. You know, a lot of people don't understand. Like, some people like to have long, drawn-out battles, like good old Macedonia, like Alexander the Great trying to take over the Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire type battles. Me, no, get this thing over with. I don't want to watch a wrestling match that lasts over to 20 minutes. This ain't a pay-per-view event. I wouldn't mind watching it add up. Like, if it, like on Street Fighter 3, I look at it as being like, okay, you got these type of characters. These not, like, only people only play at the top 3, yeah, right? That's what they say. But when you see, like, good players, man, you'll see some people pull out Dudley and be doing stuff that's phenomenal with them. Wow. This guy just did that. He got Ori. Why he pick Ori? Oh, did you see that? I love watching 3. I love watching 3 gameplay. I'd rather play 4 because it's more friendly. Like you say, it's more newbie friendly. Like I be telling people.
That's the thing. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is. It's more newbie friendly. It's gonna be more attractive to those who wanted to play Marvel vs. Capcom 2, but they couldn't because they were too afraid.
Or
I got in too late and it was too much. Now is an opportunity, and I'll be the first one to say it, and even Yipe said it. You're gonna see a lot of people you never heard of out of the blue becoming champions. I'm guaranteeing you right now. Same thing with Super Street Fighter 4. You have all these people out of fucking nowhere, like, who the fuck is this guy? He's fucking awesome. Okay. And then, you know, and you got all these upsets happening throughout the entire year of 2010. And it's going to be the same shit again in 2011 with Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Guarantee you.
Oh, yeah. The main thing that I've been hearing people say is, I didn't play Marvel vs. Capcom 2, but this shit here, I'm taking it serious. I'm going hard. I'm like, okay. And that's what it is, man. It's just got the characters, you know what I'm saying? Like I talked to Kevin, Lord Hollow. Actually, I talked to him today while we were standing in line paying off our copies. He was like, he happened to come in GameStop. I was like, man, you up here for the same thing? I was like, yeah, but we was just talking. And he was like, man, you know, when you interviewed me for Fighter's Fury, I said, you know, as long as they do it right, you know, and then they announced Marvel versus 3, and then I saw it was Tatsunoko versus Capcom 3 or 2. I didn't like it, but as soon as they announced Taskmaster, I was sold. I don't care. That's what a lot of people are doing. They're like, you know, Marvel versus Capcom 3 may not play like Marvel versus Capcom 2, but you got Deadpool, You got Dante. Oh, I got to give it a shot. So it's just how it is. A lot of people, it's like, you know, it's got the right characters, you know. I mean, for years, I remember, like, when Dante first came out, you know, I'd say, like, Devil May Cry 2. I was like, this dude would be so great in a fighting game. He'd be so great. And people was like, you know, Deadpool, you know, and then I was playing Mugen, and people like will make Thor or, you know, Deadpool. It's like, man, if Marvel versus Capcom 3 ever come out, these characters would be awesome. Now that you got the right characters, it's like, people are like, I don't care. I don't care if you play like ass. I'm playing with Deadpool. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Deadpool's going to be one of my guys, regardless. It's funny as shit.
So,
he's my dude. I love Deadpool.
So.
But the thing is that, like, right now I'm looking at the Winter Brawl lineup for Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Right now it's just below 100. And I guarantee you, February 14th, 15th, I think it's going to be a very huge spike on the signups.
That, and I think at EVO, it's going to be at least, you know, like, it's always, like, been 2,000 people for, like, Super Street Fighter 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to hit at least 4,000. Oh, at least.
It's
if they don't put it, if they don't put a limit on it, it can reach to 4,000 tomorrow.
They're going
to
cap it. They're going
to. They have to. They're going to have to cap it.
This probably be the first year that they have to cap it.
They have to cap it. It's going to be so many people. Because then, you know, I mean, you got Marvel, you know, like, I know a couple people who like Marvel Comics fans, and they was like, oh, dude, they got this character in there? Oh, I gotta play it. I don't even play fighting games, but I'm playing it because of this character. So, I mean, it's going to be amazing. I mean, I just can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a very, very good thing. And just like, you know, just like you said, what's the possibility of playing it like ass? We won't know, but hey. But I mean, for those who don't know, they say like it's gonna be the best thing ever. They may think like, hey, it may play ass, but I mean, for those who have played it, on the, you know, the builds, not the, like, it's not like we download them or anything. we will say that it's gonna be one of those games that we're gonna absolutely love, and we're gonna support it. Even as crap, we're still gonna support it because it's Marvel, you know.
No, right.
You know, it's Marvel, baby. It's just one of those games that it could play like crap, but we'll still support it because it's just another game that we love. And that's why I love the fighting game community, because the game could be complete ass, you know, like Street Fighter, but we still love it. And we'll still support it because it's our game.
Capcom, I'm going to send you a hate mail. I'm going to send you some hate mail.
I love you, Oni-san. I love you, man.
I don't. I'll tell you that. I don't care about you, Ono. I can't stand. Like Dayasha said, I can't stand me some Ono. Swear to God.
Ono's the man.
Ono's the man. Everybody hates him. But the man.
Ono-san's coming on my side.
He be trolling us with the Blanca thing and all that. I say, man, it's better than waiting a whole month for a magazine just to give us a little picture. We get enough. In a month, we get more than we get in a month from him than what we'll get in the magazine from back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So everybody's always complaining. Most of the people that complain are the people that didn't grow up, wasn't born in the 80s, that played video games in the early 90s, mid 90s at the arcade, because back then we had to go to the newsstands, sneak it. It was like, go to the newsstands, grab a piece of paper, see the fight moves, and write the fight moves down on a piece of paper and hope that the newsstand person don't catch us reading without paying for that shit.
Library.
Yes, and run into the arcade and trying to do the moves.
Exactly. Oh, dude, you should... Oh, man, I miss the arcade so much because there's been so many countless times I used to bring a stapled, folded-up paper in my pocket. Fatalities, all the moves from Mortal Kombat.
I remember when King of Fighters first came out, King of Fighters 94 first came out, I was like, bought the book, the Die Hard Game Fan book, bought it.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I think I got that sword in this house. I really do think I got it.
My local arcade wizards, and you know, playing King of Fighters 94, and right next to us was like a Puzzle Fighter. I put it right next to it. I put the book open on the other cabinet. It was like looking over like, why you do that combo again? Oh, okay. And this just, man.
Oh, my God.
That's how it was, man. A lot of people. And the funny thing is that, you know, us old schools, you know, we will remember. We will always have that. We would know when, you know, the arcades, how it was and how long it took us to be where we are right now. And just the new generation, they would never experience in that. And that's the thing that, oh, man.
Like, I tell my son, I was like, you know what training mode was to me back then? Put another quarter up.
Yep.
Put another quarter up.
Put another.
No, it was training mode for me was getting there early enough to try to beat the game by learning combos before the big heads got in. And sitting back and watching them how they play.
Yep.
It's like, put another quarter up. I'm like, man.
Yeah, I remember a training for me, it was don't throw. Don't throw.
Oh, man. See? It's pretty great. Because, like, a lot of people, because I'm 27, and a lot of people don't understand it. It's like, yo, I grew up in arcade. I remember when Street Fighter 2 came out. Mm-hmm. My uncle took me to the arcade and saw me when I was watching it. And he was like, and I watched him play. And he's like, you play? And he was like, yo. And he took me to another arcade. He was like, you like Street Fighter 2? And I was like, yeah, it's so awesome. And he took me to play Street Fighter 1. I was like, this is so ass. I can't pick my character. And you know, everybody's talking about, I played the new, I didn't know there was an old version of Street Fighter 1 where it was only two buttons. The Street Fighter 1 I played had six buttons.
No. Man.
The first time I was introduced with Street Fighter was when they had the two buttons.
Yes. The big ass soup bowl buttons, big punch, and a big kick.
Yeah, the one you have to actually punch to make them work.
I was like, my God, man. It was at Chuck E. Cheese, and it was like, you really had
to. No. You said it wrong. It was Showbiz Pizza.
Okay. Showbiz Pizza back then. Had to punch it, and the punch button was blue, and the kick button was red. It was big.
It was huge.
See, I got lucky then. I got lucky because I had six buttons. The arcade looked like it was homemade arcade. It was red. It was a red. It was a lollipop. I remember it because it was a lollipop, and it was a red, and the buttons was red. Two players. The whole cabinet was black. They didn't even have no marquee or no nothing. It was Street Fighter. It was Street Fighter.
I mean, eventually I actually had the opportunity to play the six-button version, but that's the first time I was introduced. I mean, the first time I heard, I'm like, what the hell is that? And the guy did it again. I'm like, oh, that shit is cool. He's throwing like a thing out of his hand. I don't know what he's saying, but that's pretty cool.
Think about it, Wes. You got lucky if you threw a fireball.
No, it wasn't the fireball. It was the shuriken.
I could never get that out. And it was like, man, the shuriken, man, it was like, man, Santa Claus that just came or something. Because it was like, on that game, I only did like one shuriken ever on the first one. When I got the fireball, I was okay. But then I accidentally did the whirlwind kick and I did a Rotetsu. I was like, oh, he can do that? Oh, this is awesome. But,
man,
I'm telling you, have you ever tried to do a Shoryuken on a button that's about as big as a dinner plate? It is the worst thing ever. Ever.
See, I really do miss them days.
I do. It was just a different era back then.
Yes.
It was just a thing. It was just like going to the arcades was the thing to do, and it was playing games like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. It was just those things. It was the thing to do, and it was just like a whole, I don't know. It's just like the time and the very first time when the very first Marvel vs. Capcom game ever came out. It was like Marvel Gems or the very first Marvel vs. Capcom. It was just back then. It was just a whole.
Oh man!
It was just a whole new, dude. It was just.
I know what you're saying.
You just
like Captain Commando. Oh my gosh! I remember playing that game. That game was. Where's the baby at? Oh, I can call him out. Get the fuck out of here!
I'm sorry.
That shit, man.
My shining moment was when X-Men versus Street Fighter came out, and you could pick Sabretooth and put Wolverine and Sabretooth on the same team. Me and Video would have some hell of a battles. He would get Rogue and Gambit, and I'll get Wolverine and Sabretooth, and we would go back and forth. And he would just like, "Sean, get that out of here." I'm like, "Man, shut up, man. Make you be discorded. Make you put."
Like, oh man. I remember when X-Men versus Street Fighter it came to my arcade. It's like I went in there to go play. What was it? Super Street Fighter 2, and I think. No, it was. I wasn't. No, I didn't want to play Super Street Fighter 2 because nobody would play it. I was busting heads on it because I used to just practice all the time on my Super Nintendo, and I go to arcade and play it. And people was on Killing Instinct, but I had the concept of that down. It just I didn't own the game, so everybody that owned the game was doing combos, which I was like, oh man, I'm not playing the characters they're playing. I'm playing the Shoto, and I'm playing Jago, and I'm playing the chick that transformed to a tiger. I'm playing those characters. So everybody else is playing top tiers, and I didn't know about it. So I went in there and was like, oh, I'm just going to play one of them. And I was like, I want to play X-Men. You know, I like Cyclops. I got there, and I seen everybody hovering around a new arcade machine, and it was set right middle of the floor in Aladdin's castle. And I'm like, I looked, and I was like, X-Men versus Street Fighter. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Oh shit! They got Gambit. I was like a big Gambit fan, but now I'm older. I don't really care for the character now because of his morals and everything. But I was so fascinated. I was like, they got Gambit, and the first thing I see, I watched the people pick the guy pick his character, and he went there. He picked Reed. I was like, why he's gonna pick Reed? And then he went by Wolverine and pushed up, and I was like, oh my god, they got Akuma in this game. No way. And I was so fascinated. And I was like, let me get in. And these are older heads. But my uncle used to take me to places to play games. So I beat three people in a row. And it was like, you never played this game? I was like, no, I'm just playing it like Street Fighter. And like, and I accidentally tagged on one man. I didn't know how to tag, so you know, I'm just playing all the way out. I play Ryu and Ken the whole time. And I like, these are the only people I know how to play. I didn't know how to tag out, and then I don't know what I did. I think you can get dizzy in that game, right?
Right.
Oh, I think that's how I found out how to tag. So I was just mashing it out, and I tagged out. I was like, what happened? And I just played it. I think I got beat that match. Then after that, I played two more, lost two, walked around the mall, came back. Then I was like, I think I looked in a video game magazine or something, and I read how you can do super, super finisher moves and stuff. Like, oh man. And I ran back to the arc. I think I ran into one of my family members and asked for a dollar. And they used to, like, I was one of those kids, like, yo, can I get a dollar? And they knew where I was going. If I give you this dollar, you're not gonna go to arcade, or you know, like, no, I don't want the dollar now. And it's like, yeah, you get it. I think I got like $5 from my cousin Donna. And man, I put two tokens in there because the Latin Castle played tokens, and the other place played quarters. I put two tokens in there, and I beat like five people in a row, and then I beat the game. And I was so ticked off because I was a Ken player. I loved Ken more than Ryu at the time. And then I had Ryu first, Ken second, and I had to fight Ken. I was like, no, no, I had to fight Ken. I want Ryu. And then everybody helped me. I didn't know nobody was around me. I was so mad. I'm doing all this jumping around and stuff, and I look back, and I like, holy shit, there's like 20 people here watching me playing it. And I almost lost the cannon, and it's like, and then I get to the last part, and I was like, okay, I beat the game. I was like, Apocalypse, no fucking way! I was like, I got no hell, you know. I was like, no, I had to fight Apocalypse. That's what flipped me out. And then when I found out I had to fight my partner, I was so ticked off. That's what happened. I was mad because I was like, I wanted to be Ken, and I was like, well, I got to beat Ryu,
right?
And I beat the game, and everybody thought I was treated like one of the best persons. And then I played another match against somebody, and he just busted my head like there was no tomorrow. Like, I just didn't beat the game or something. He beat me down so bad.
Right. Now be truthful. I know you did this. I know you had to do this. You was at the arcade. You spent all your money, but you didn't want to go. So you be like, yo, give me a quarter. Give me a quarter.
I'm not gonna lie. I did not do that. You know
you
what
did
I used
not
to
do that.
I'll tell you what I used to do. When I first met Grego and Marcus Cobb, I told them I used to go to the machines and act like I was playing a game while working the combos, my little combos, while playing the game. I used to mimic this stuff, and that's how I used to work on my execution. That's what I used to do. And so somebody used to pull me. I was like, "You're not even playing in the game." And then they put the quarter up and pushed me out the way. That's what I used to do. I never asked for a quarter because I was too young to ask for extra money.
I'd be like, "Man, I ain't ready to go, man. Let me get play, man."
I used to check the coins, see if they if the token didn't go through or stuff like that. Or every machine.
Or you get to the arcade when it opens, and then somehow somebody left a quarter in it from the other night, and you press the button, and you get to play. You're like, yes, play, dog, free play, goddammit.
I do that when I go to Chuck E. Cheese. I go every time. Go to Chuck E. Cheese. Just go around the machines, push start. Okay, I've got a game. Still got all my tokens.
We're about to wrap this up. Anybody want to do shout outs?
I'd like to give a shout out to myself and DMG for being awesome. Naida for jumping on the podcast with us. Once again, Big Shelton for being the guy who he is. Myself, because I'm that damn awesome. Anybody else? Also, I'd like to give a shout out to everybody to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan, GRCC. I will be having a mystery game tournament this weekend, Friday, February 11, 2011. Top three payout. It's cost $1 each round. It's a different game. Double elimination. You have a chance if you lose once. I'm good after that, people. No, real talk, I am having a mystery game this Friday at Grand Rapids Community College Student Gaming Association Mystery Game Tournament. Double elimination. Each round there will be a different game, so you will never play the same game twice. I have over 50 to 60 games for this mystery game tournament. It's $1 to play, and if you win, you win. I'm not going to participate in it because it's my games and I know the list.
Right. As long as the Rage 2 is on there, we good.
And the only hint I will give these people, there will not all be fighting games.
Damn. Well, oh well, get your game, step your game up.
I hope you know how to play Tetris. Not Mario. It doesn't mean that those games are going to be there.
What about you, Jose? Any shouts out?
Shout out to you guys, Shell, Shanti, for inviting me on here.
I'm so flattered. You're welcome.
I always enjoyed jumping on Shelton's podcast. It's always fun. A shout out to my guys. Shout out to DMG. Guy does have some great players. Representing the brand. Give a shout out to our. Be a little corporate here. A little shout out to my sponsors. Shout out to Focus Attack. Big shout out to Alex. Forgive me if I pronounce this wrong. Uvixio, t-shirt company in Canada. Big shout out to Caesar, the Traveling Circus. Shout out to Julio, owner of Focus Attack, and a big shout out to our mystery sponsor, which I'm not going to announce until Winter Brawl.
Damn it! I thought he forgot.
So we was on it.
Like, yes, we all we got it. Let's go.
He wrap told this up. Us to play the powers.
Also a big shout out to Red Delta Squad. I will see you guys at Winter Brawl. Bring your money. We will be paying dinner with it. So we'll see you guys there. Now, Professor Rouse, those guys are cool. They're cool as shit. They're good guys. They're really, really good guys. And we'll see them in Winter Brawl.
Yeah, we had a chance to meet them, and Chauncey interviewed them at Season Beatings.
Yeah, I knew them for a long time. Doctor and Professor, the twins, I knew them for a while. Them guys, they're busting their heads, just getting pretty far for just that sort of time.
No, they're doing great strides, and you know,
yeah.
They came up to me. Was it? They sent me an email last month. You know, asking for advice of what they should do. I gave them the advice, and they're taking it. They're running with it, and I'm proud of them. It's good stuff.
Okay. All right. Oh, I guess it's my turn. Shouts out. Shouts out to the fam. They know who they are. They knew they listening.
They kept I'm so happy. Thank you.
Kept busting into my room, kicking them out. Anyway, shouts out to Dominion Method Gaming and Jose. You know, you guys were like, you know, when I was sending out emails for interviews with Fighter Fury, you know, people weren't returning them. They know who they are. You guys stepped up to the point, you know, to the plate, and you know, gave me a chance, gave me a shot to interview, and I appreciate that. And shout out to the rest of my teammates, you know.
Thank you so much once again.
They know what we about to do, so yeah, we about to do it. And then just a big shout out to the fighting game community. You know, you guys make this all possible. You know,
absolutely. Oh, well, one quick shout out. Big quick shout out to my public relations manager, Jason LeBoy. This guy came out of nowhere. He's been a fan of ours for a while, and you know, he's been, you know, wanted to follow the footsteps of Info, you know, best Fei Long player in the U.S. And he stuck his neck out for me in NAC because I couldn't be there. And ever since then, he's been working hard for the brand. And a lot of our success has to do with a lot of our success behind the scenes is because of him. And big shout out to him. And I'm very much indebted to him of what he has done for us, and he's kicking ass in a very short time. Couldn't ask anything more.
All right, so that's about it. We're gonna wrap this up. I gotta go kick my kids off my 360.
So wrong, man.
Hey, man.
Oh, it's time to. Yeah, y'all know what time it is. Y'all see that clock? Y'all wash y'all feet.
On that note, we out. Get on the dance floor. Get on.